the Canadian Bitcoiners podcast is just two guys and maybe a guest or two discussing Bitcoin, Bitcoin equities, and the related macroeconomic space. It's not meant to be financial advice, so please, if you're doing any investing after listening to our program, do your own research, do your own due diligence, and understand that any money you invest can be lost. The show is meant for entertainment purposes only, and we hope you enjoy the program. Friends and enemies reporting in from 50K day. This
it's
is
below 50K though.
It's 50K. I got it. I got it at 50 right now. 50. What is it? 50,024. 50K day. Number 150 here on CBP Media Network. This
my coin market cap is showing something else.
No,
and
buddy,
my BlockRock is showing something else.
You got to reset.
The BlockRock two for
never,
two.
The BlockRock's never accurate. I got to change.
It's
my
5 minutes behind.
That. Yeah, that's the other problem.
Up two.
I'm Joey. That's Len. Welcome back. Buddy, great day to be a Bitcoiner. What's going on in your neck of the woods over there?
Just basking in the glory of what's going on with the price of Bitcoin. You know what? Like, I typically don't follow, but today I did. For some reason, I did that. And you know what? Looking at this and watching it go up and up in price, like, how could, like, anybody out there really say that Bitcoin's not going to fucking moon? There's, you know, not financial advice, of course. But if you're fucking sitting on zero, fuck you. You're an absolute moron. There's every opportunity to come in. It's still relatively cheap in my particular opinion, but fuck you if you're sitting on zero, because it's a good time to get in and keep stacking away. KYC free. We'll talk about that in a moment.
I don't get the zero thing. The ETF inflows are completely insane. I put a post up on our website maybe a week ago with some of the ETF inflows. It's a billion like plus a week. It's like, it's an insane number. And the GBTC outflows, they were super high the first few days, but last week, Len, they started to really taper off. I don't know what they were today. I think Thursday last week, it was like 75 million, barely anything. It's like a drop in the bucket, GBTC outflow. So I think a lot of people are just looking up or thinking about, like, I'm not even going to worry about selling this right now, especially in the States. I don't know what the tax situation is over there. But anyway, we'll get to that, among other things. As always, CBP, sponsored by two great companies, EasyDNS, the best place for you to host your content. Friendly neighborhood domain registrars, Mike, as Mark always likes to say. Whether you're doing virtual private server stuff, Bitcoin Node, Nostr Relay, BTC Pay server implementation, Nodeless implementation, Mark can help you with that. If you want to bring your website over, you want to start something, maybe like your own podcast, Mark can help you do that as well. You want to do email that's not so easily crawlable by the powers that be, Mark can help you with that as well. PGP and GPG email over there. All that and more at easydns.com, where you can sign up. Use the code CBP Media. Tell them we sent you and get 50% off your first buy. Plus, Len, they got other stuff there too, right? Access of Easy runs through EasyDNS, which is a podcast everyone should be listening to. Bomb Thrower over there as well, a website everyone should be reading. Lots of stuff going on the other side of the Rubicon there. Mark is doing great work. EasyDNS, great sponsor. We're happy to have him. Who else we got?
Bull Bitcoin, Joey. Bull Bitcoin, which is also a great place to buy your Bitcoin if you wanted to. You can sell your Bitcoin. I'm sure people out there are thinking it's a good time to sell your Bitcoin because the price of Bitcoin has been pumping. We've had a great day in terms of with respect to the price. But you know what? Don't sell. Keep your Bitcoin and keep stacking away. That's my non-financial advice to you. And Bull Bitcoin is there to help you out if you do want to continue to stack away. You could buy on-chain. You could buy on with Lightning. So when the fees go high, which they did temporarily today, they went from almost single digits sats per VByte to three digits sats per VByte, all in a matter of minutes. But Bull Bitcoin, they have you covered. So you could then use Lightning if you wanted and do some cheap buys. They have that option available to you. Not only that, you could also spend your Bitcoin with them to pay your bills. So if you have an electricity bill you have to pay, auto bill you have to pay, what the fuck you got to do, they're there to cover you. You could just use your Bitcoin to pay for that. Also, you could buy gift cards. So, you know, you don't want to spend your dirty fiat in the real world. You want to spend your Bitcoin. They give you the option. You could go to Bull Bitcoin, spend your Bitcoin, and get these gift cards and spend them in the real world. But the best thing they have, in my opinion, out of everything they have, a lot of great options you have available at Bull Bitcoin, is the KYC free. You go there, go to Canada Post, leave your Canadian dollars. They'll load up your Bull Bitcoin account. And with that, you can buy KYC free Bitcoin, the cheapest spread in the game in Canada, bar none. Easy to do. I did a video on it. If you check it out, if you want to see how it's done, great place to buy your Bitcoin. Check it out. Use our referral code below if you haven't already done so. By doing so, you get $21 added to your account after you fund your account and provide the necessary information.
No better place to buy KYC free Bitcoin in the world, in the country for sure, but in the world, than Bull Bitcoin. So lots to talk about. Let's do some housekeeping first. Last week, you had a great last-minute show with Praveen Pereira, who's a guy you and I are friends with. I've met him a few times. He was first introduced to me, I think, at Innocente 2 years ago, before he did his whole like exfil from Canada to the greener pastures of Texas there, which you guys talked about. Lots of discussion. He's obviously more well-versed in the code side, the technical side of Bitcoin than we are, and has some strong feelings, as you do, about the ordinals slash shitscriptions, I think I have to call them now after listening to that interview side of things. That was really good. So big thanks to him for coming on. I realized that was short notice. We appreciate that. And I got to say, he's welcome back anytime. That was a really good episode. 100%. If you haven't listened to that yet, you should. This week, we have a very special guest coming on. Time TBD, Chris Irons, Quoth the Raven, who's become very popular in the Bitcoin space in the last little while for his about face on the best asset in the world over the last week or 2 weeks or so. Very much looking forward to talking to him. If you're looking for more from Chris, he was on Palisade Gold radio last week discussing some Bitcoin related stuff, hard asset stuff. He's a gold guy as well, which I understand. I'm going to ask him about that when we have him on later this week. I'm not sure if it's going to be Wednesday or Thursday. I think it could even be tomorrow. I'm not 100% sure, but I will tell everyone as soon as I know, and we'll rip that stream probably midday if I had to guess. So keep an eye out for that. Two Whites
will it
and
be live?
It will be live. Yeah, regardless of when we do it, it'll be live. Unless he has some opposition, but honestly, I doubt it. Two Whites and Blue released a show on Saturday. It was pretty good. Mike and Will were over here on Friday night. We did a good rip, had a few beers, talked about a lot of things that you know, are important to us as usual. Highly recommend subscribing to that show. I don't think NHL 94 released an episode this week, but I could be wrong.
I try to do it every 2-3 weeks. This weekend I have an interview with perhaps the greatest player in the Genesis side of things, and his name is Angry Jay. So he'll be joining me on Sunday, and then I'll release it, who knows, sometime in the next few days after that. So he's apparently the best Genesis NHL player, NHL 94 player out there. He smokes everybody. Won the King of 94 tournament a few times, and just he's running away with it. So yeah, maybe I'll have a match with him after and just to try to keep it under 10 goals.
Hey, when are you doing the Your Life, Your Term show?
It's next week or the week after. I forget.
So you're doing that. You were also on High Hash Rate, right? I haven't listened to your full High Hash Rate episode yet, but I did enjoy the bit that I heard. Those guys are good. We should at some point.
I'm leaving the basement, Joey. This is incredible.
I know. It's crazy. You're getting out there. It's good to see. So I'm looking forward to hearing you on Tom and Nick's show, too. That's always a good place to hang out. And I think you're playing some NHL there as well, are you not?
Yeah, we're going to be. Yeah, I'm going to bring the controllers, bring the Genesis. We'll play. And, I don't plan to leave there until midnight. So
I love it. I love it. Don't tell them.
No, they suggested. I'm kidding. No, they didn't. But now they know. Also, I'm going to stock up on some beef while I'm there, because every time I go there, there's always a, you know, I'm going to pilfer some meat.
Controversy about beef.
I might as well do it, right? Like, to be further discussed. I have this reputation.
Yeah, to be further discussed on their air, I'm sure, on later
in the month. I want to get to the bottom of this. Who is the person that did this? Because my good name is being smeared as a result. I would not take any of their meat. But only the stuff that we purchase. So
can't have that. Can't have that. I think that's it for housekeeping. You want to do some
One more housekeeping item. Sure. Because there's going to be a halving party taking place at the brewing company that you mentioned, Innocente. It's going to be taking place Waterloo, Ontario. So Innocente Brewing Company, April 20th, 5 p.m. Eastern.
What if the halving is before that? Like, are we trying to hit the day? We don't care. What are we doing?
I have information that this is the date. Looks like they don't give a fuck whatever the halving date is going to be. This is the halving party. So there you go.
Is it third during the week, Len? It probably is.
No, it's a Saturday.
Wow. Incredible.
Everything is lining up perfectly for this. I plan to attend. Joey, if you want to attend, I don't know. I don't know if you're committed.
Unknown. We'll
unknown.
See.
There you go. Yeah, so it's going to be a game time decision. And yeah, so it's going to be good. Apparently, we're getting some flack. All 21 people in that chat have to attend. If you don't, Joey, then we're down about one. It's 20 people. And somebody's going to get kicked out of that chat. We'll see what happens. But anyways, there you go. Yeah, having party April 20th. Innocente Brewing Company, 5 p.m. Also, got some boosts. I'm just going to rhyme them off quickly. We got the Bamboozler, 210 sats. Life is a game. Give me the Bitcoin version where the rules are clear and determined over the fiat version where they are arbitrary and changed on a whim by the people that are winning. I like that. Yeah, because it's clearly defined the rules with Bitcoin, the issuance schedule. There's so much that you could just look at the code and you could predict what's going to happen moving forward, except the price. The price is unpredictable. Top W Cone, 395 sats. Joey, this is an interesting comment he makes. He said the union members of UPS will not lose any jobs. All the layoffs are in management and temp jobs not being renewed. The union contract protected them from layoffs. The hidden story is shipping is down. And I mentioned that as well. FedEx has laid off people. Amazon ditto. ODL carrier has laid off too. I don't know what ODL stands for, but anyways, they did. And rail companies have cut stockyard hours due to lower volume. In consumer economy, lower shipping means less buying. That's the real story. And that's a telling tale of what's going on with the economy in the U.S. So there you go. So those UPS guys, at least were unionized. Looks like they're not going to lose their jobs.
I see in the comments, Grace, too, commenting from Twitter about how to RSVP to the halving party. I can't respond to Twitter comments in the chat. So how do you RSVP? That'd be a good thing to know, actually.
I don't think there's a RSVP to the best of my knowledge. Just simply show up. That's it. Just show the fuck up.
There you go.
And
there you go.
Yeah. So if we jam the place, all the more better. You know, like, I don't know if there's any sponsor or anything. We're just unofficially associated with it. So there you go. And I don't know what's going to happen, any events or anything that's going on there. But anyways, last we have MoBTC Dick, 550 sats, writes in, gotta say Len was great on high hash rate, but I desperately want to witness Len after partaking in some of the old devil's lettuce now. Not gonna happen.
You did say on the show that you're a CBD guy, though. I didn't know.
Yeah, I like that. If I you know, I have to choose of the two, and I choose one of the two, I like CBD over the THC stuff. THC, I you know, it does what it does, but maybe CBD is snake oil, like I mentioned in our chat. Could be, could not be. I have no fucking clue, but it's relatively cheap and it gives me peace of mind. And it feels like something is going on with my joints, improving them. But again, yeah, it could all just be in my head. It could be snake oil. I could be pissing my money away. But luckily, it's not that much money.
Good to know. All right. Well, we may as well hop into the Bitcoin stories here. I see you took no prisoners on the thumbnail. I think we might have some disagreement here. Do you want to start there or do you want to start somewhere else?
Let's talk really, really quick. And I don't even have it on my agenda here, but Biden's laser eyes. What the fuck is that all about? How cringe is that, Joey? Who did this? Why did they do it? What's the message? What is up with this? I have no fucking clue.
We are resolving to be less, you know, pointed in our commentary and personal opinions on this program.
No, but this is like legitimate. He has laser eyes on a picture, so I'm curious.
I don't think it's like, is it like a San Francisco 49ers laser eye thing? Is that what I'm supposed to take from that? That it's like a Kansas City Chiefs one? Like, what does he mean by just how we drew it up? Like, that's what I don't really get. Like, what is he going for there? I thought it was like maybe Super Bowl related, maybe.
I don't know.
Because I can't imagine it's something else. Like, what is he talking about? The tweet is like it's like cryptic, but it was during the Super Bowl. So what else could it be?
Is it a carryover from his tweet about and video about shrinkflation?
I don't know.
Like, is there any connection between the two of them? That video, by the way, was incredible.
Well, all time stuff, right? When he talks about inflation going down every day, to then transition pretty cleanly to, yes, the prices are lower, but you're actually getting sneakily less food. Like, not really great PR there. But that's what you get from a White House that employs people like Jean-Pierre and the others that are on that podium day in, day out. Just, I mean, dropping the ball is the kind term. I think maybe I'll stick with that, but I'm sure people have more pointed language than that for what's going on at the White House. Look, to your point, to answer the question with the tweet, I don't know. Nobody knows. I don't think they mentioned what it is. I didn't hear anything today clarifying what it meant. So God only knows what's going on over there, buddy. I don't have a clue, honestly. I do not have a clue.
That's the best. Throw something out there that is even remotely closely related to Bitcoin. Say nothing and just leave it be. And you'll probably never address it moving forward.
Engagement farming, right? Well, Len, you know, the debt is like $32 trillion. If you can get a couple of bucks from Elon for the views of your tweet, like, why not, right? It's fiscally responsible.
Joey, I think you're $2 or $3 trillion short. They're $34 or $35 trillion debt.
Oh, good.
So okay. Just imagine that. Like, just a few trillion here. Like, fucking trillions of dollars. Never we're gonna fucking repay this thing.
I gotta look here. Anyway, yeah, that's funny. I don't know what's making the laser eyes. You know as good as anyone. $34 trillion. Yeah. Wow, $200 billion on top of that too. We're getting close. It is getting real close. Oh,
Yeah, by June, July, it's going to easily be past 30. Anyways, let's talk about something, what's going on in BC. But first, before I talk about what's going on there, last week we had some shots fired by the Biden administration towards Bitcoin mining. Mm-hmm. And we talked about this. They had, you know, they're asking for miners out there to voluntarily submit information. And they're trying to collect this information with respect to Bitcoin mining. And this is for the Department of Energy. They're the one that's running this. We discussed it at length. Check it out, CBP 149, if you want to get more information with respect to that. But, well, we have a jurisdiction in Canada, and I mentioned BC, that's also firing shots at Bitcoin mining as well. So before we get into BC and what's happening with Bitcoin mining, I just want to add some color to this first. So number one, we have BC. Predominantly, they are generating energy through hydroelectric. That's 87%, a little bit over 87%, in fact, comes from hydroelectric. So that's quote unquote green energy. That's what's powering up their grid. And typically, BC generates more electricity than they use, and they export electricity. But 2023 is an exception. And the reason being, they had an unusually dry year, and that obviously it hurts hydroelectric power generation. And so they became a net importer versus net exporter of electricity. And now to the story at hand. So we have a company called Conifex Timber Inc. We'll call them Conifex moving forward. They're a Canadian-based forestry company. They're trying to get into Bitcoin mining. So they're trying to branch out into something else. And this is pretty
great,
cool.
Great joke, great pun there, trying to branch out. Okay, continue.
So BC, unfortunately, has been putting up roadblocks with respect to new mining operations plugging into the grid. So back in 2022 December, a little over a year and change ago, the province put in an 18-month pause on any new mining operations that are going to be hooked up to the grid. And this impacted Conifex because their ability to move over, to move forward with their mining operation is now going to be impacted as a result. What they decided to do is, like any other company or any other individual, they decided to take this to court. And they took this all the way up to the BC Supreme Court. And the BC Supreme Court ruled in favor of BC, saying that the pause is reasonable and not unduly discriminatory. So the people setting the laws put the pause. The courts say the pause is not discriminatory and it's reasonable. So this pause is going to be there for until the end of it. They also say that Conifex, this endeavor would consume 2.5 million megawatt hours of electricity. And that's enough to heat and power 570,000 homes. That's a lot.
Yeah. Okay.
This is according to Conifex's information, by the way. This is, I don't think this is, so this is straight from the source. And remember, this pause back in December 2022 came at a time when BC was exporting their electricity, right? This isn't the only province that's done this, by the way. Manitoba has done the same thing. They put an 18-month memorandum starting from November 2022. And that's still currently under review, but there seems to be more and more provinces doing the same thing. But what's going to happen when BC now has to look at this pause once again, considering now last year they were importing electricity and you have all this FUD surrounding what's going on with Bitcoin mining? I suspect BC might be another province that is going to have an extended, almost indefinite ban on Bitcoin mining plugging into the grid. And this, more than ever, shows that Bitcoin miners, they have to seek out stranded sources of energy. Energy that is nowhere that can be plugged into the grid, or energy that they could produce on their own, such as maybe a oil and gas company or their own power generation station, something along those lines. But what I'm looking at here, between what happened last week and what's happening here, I think Bitcoin mining is at a crossroads. And normally, I would say that North America would be a friendly jurisdiction towards Bitcoin mining. But after seeing these stories, I'm wondering, moving forward, if this is still going to be the case. Seems like it's going to be harder and harder to do business in the United States. They're going to be asking for people to, or the companies to voluntarily submit information. And we can suggest why this might be the case. And in BC and Manitoba, they have these memorandums and pauses that they're putting on for plugging into grid. It's inevitable it's going to be spreading to other provinces as well. So like I said, stranded sources of energy is key with Bitcoin mining. But still, even with that, I still think we are going to be looking at some roadblocks in North America with respect to Bitcoin mining. And that's good in one respect, and bad in another. Good, because you want to decentralize everything, but bad, you prefer to have it in jurisdictions that you have more control over, Canada and the United States, namely, and you don't have it sent to like Venezuela, Russia, whatever, because, you know, it's, they are quote unquote our enemies. Mm-hmm. So I just want to say that that's basically that what I'm talking about here is that it's something is going on with Bitcoin mining. Politicians don't like it, and something is going to happen in the next little while. That's my guess.
I just think there's two kind of considerations for this story and any of the other ones that are kind of the same ilk, you know, it's sort of painted with the same brush. One is, you know, as especially now that the ETF is available in the United States, there isn't really any legal cloud over the asset itself, Bitcoin itself. The thing is legal in the way that many other things are legal, commodities and other investment tools. I don't think that's going away. I think it's all kind of heading one direction now. It's almost a done deal basically everywhere in the world, as long as the US does it. Excuse me, it's Gucci in most places. Great. So that isn't an attack vector for Bitcoin anymore. But the thing that is an attack vector, which we've talked about before, is industrial mining. It's an attack vector for two reasons. One, there's a very vocal and I think sometimes misinformed group of people working on behalf of someone, unknown forces, honestly, but they're working against Bitcoin miners, Canada, US, in European countries as well. I've seen this, among other places, probably. If I think back to the 3 years almost we've been doing this show, I am certain that we could find a couple of episodes where we talked about other countries on other continents discouraging Bitcoin mining for similar reasons, environmental damage and things of this nature. I don't view this as an environmental like support cause. I view this as an attack on Bitcoin. I say that because we've seen, in my opinion, environmental protection used as a wedge into discouraging or outright punishing certain behaviors in favor of other behaviors, even though it's not necessarily great for the environment, certainly not great for consumers. Although British Columbia has the fourth cheapest power in the country, I think, right? They're about 9 cents or 10 cents kilowatt hour. So that puts them about fourth on average. Quebec is the cheapest. And then one of the territories, I forget which one, is the most expensive. So it's not really good for anybody except for the people who want Bitcoin banned, controlled, more centralized, stuff like that. The other side of this, Len, is, you know, what do we do about it, right? As a community, I think a lot of us, I don't want to speak for you, but I think a lot of us in Bitcoin, especially if you've been around for 7 or 8 years, you know, you and me are on year, we're in year eight now, is sort of in the Bitcoin space. And I can't think of anyone who's ever come up with a good solution to governments attacking mining, right? We know the benefits. They're there. They're very clear, I think. Grid stabilization, demand response. We've heard these things. And actually, there's a lot of good stories that we've talked about over the years. So what do you do when a local government or a state government or a federal government won't engage with you on fair terms? I don't know. I kind of think you do it the same way Uber did it sometimes, where you just keep pushing and putting down roots until the general population demands the product or service or the byproduct of the product or service in this case, I guess. And it becomes politically feasible and basically required to win an election to keep this stuff going. We're a long way away from that. The other thing, Len, is you just leave. And I think that Canada has suffered from this a lot in the last 4 or 5 years, probably longer than that. But in the last 4 or 5 years, it's been a number of things that we've kind of pushed away from our borders in a lot of ways. And I fear that Bitcoin mining is going to be another one. I had a moment of like, you know, memory there when you were telling the story about these moratoriums on mining that provinces and municipal jurisdictions put on the books. Remember when Quebec, we had Ben Gagnon on in 2021, probably, or 2020 even? No, 21 when we started the show. And, you know, at that time they were using Quebec as their Canadian hub. And shortly after that interview, Quebec put the moratorium on. I don't think they ever took it off, did they?
I know that there's some hurdles that need to be overcome. I think that it's ended. I could be wrong, but
you and me are talking and looking and reading about a lot of Bitcoin stuff, especially Canadian Bitcoin stuff. And I don't remember seeing a return at the scale that Bitfarms was in Quebec. I don't remember seeing a return. And, you know, I I think I agree with you that these moratoriums are becoming permanent bans, just because the momentum required to overcome them, both politically and from a business point of view, it just isn't worth it. Like, no politician is going to tie their, you know, carriage to this horse, and no company, especially not a publicly traded company, is just going to keep bashing their head against the wall to mine in a market that doesn't want them when so many more markets are starting to want them. Specifically, obviously, in the United States, some of the red United States. I don't know what to make of this, except to say that I think it's a mistake, and it's one of many mistakes we seem to be making on the tech sort of cutting edge side of things. I mean, I'm a big fan of Professor Michael Geist, and he's talking a lot about some of the things we're seeing in the privacy space from the tech side. I think this is maybe not exactly the same, but certainly it's being dominated by the same mentality. You know, protectionism, centralization, difficulty opening businesses in the name of protecting, you know, XYZ Canadian institution, power, whatever, right? Like, I just think it's a mistake, and it's going to be a costly one down the road. We talked a little bit, you know, I mentioned it earlier in the show, the ETF inflows. This is a thing that's going to be huge for everybody at some point. It's already a huge part of like my life and your life, people listening, watching, but it's going to be big for everybody at some point. Why would you want to put your country at a disadvantage by pushing away companies that are trying to do the right thing and, you know, use some of the stranded power, as you mentioned, to mine Bitcoin? I don't get it. Wouldn't the prudent thing be putting in like a federal level Bitcoin tax? Like, for every, you know, it's a 0.05% tax. Everything you mine, we get, you know, 0.05% of it. Like, that to me is the prudent thing. And I don't think we're far from that, honestly. Some countries doing that. Because as we mentioned before, it's hard to get the hardware, it's hard to get the power, it's hard to get all those things. But some of these companies already have roots down. I'm a little far afoot here at this point, but it doesn't make sense. I don't understand the principle behind this. And it sounds like it's hard to find an explanation, which makes it even more frustrating.
Yeah, I don't know what else to say. I mean, in one sense, I could try to play devil's advocate as to why they're trying to do this. And I think we all like to have the ability of flipping a switch and having the lights turn on. We don't want it to have flickering or no power mm-hmm. whatsoever. So mm-hmm. to have it readily available is something we want. And plugging in more of these mining operations into the grid will take away from whatever electricity is being generated. There could be a potential in a not too distant future that it could overwhelm whatever is being generated. And the companies that are generating electricity, maybe they'll even make an agreement with these Bitcoin mining companies to sell the electricity at a higher price to them. So yeah. It'd be advantageous, because selling it to you and I as a consumer, residential customer, I mean, we only pay whatever the regulated rates are, and they could potentially sell it for higher to a company that really wants it. So that's the devil's advocate side of things. But
that's a good argument though, Len, because the miners are, you know, sort of inherently long Bitcoin, right? So how long are you? Are you 25% greater power cost long? That still puts you, by the way, about halfway up the ladder as far as energy costs in the country. So it's really not that bad. If you're long Bitcoin, you want to mine, how long are you? You know, how lucky do you feel? I don't know.
And again, if they're happy selling the electricity at a premium to those companies, would you as a consumer be happy as well flipping the switch and not having power because the power, or is just, you know, it's a brownout or a blackout?
You'd have to figure it out, right?
Like exactly that.
Yeah.
But the stranded energy, that's the one I truly hope that they don't go after. A Bitcoin mining company, data center that is hooked up to energy that is just non-usable. It's so far away from urban, commerce, mm-hmm. industrial areas. Just transporting it feasibly doesn't make sense. Economically doesn't make sense. So if using that for Bitcoin mining, I hope that there's not going to be opposition by the powers that be to stop them from taking advantage of this. Because in my opinion, that energy is useless. It's wasted. So you might as well try to harness it. And, you know, that's an interesting point to put in some sort of federal tax, a minimal one at that, but it could potentially help out the government as a whole. And, you know, maybe they have to start accumulating some Bitcoin for themselves just for, you know,
what better way to start than to just, you know, throw a tax on? It's a low, from the government's point of view, it's a low friction vehicle to get some skin in the game. And, you know, as we know, once you have some skin in the game, you start to understand some of the mechanisms behind the asset a little more deeply, because it's sort of, you know, to your Benefit 50,100, by the way, on the block clock.
Yeah, both of ours are synced.
Yeah, so I don't know what else to say about this. I'd love to talk to somebody from that company. Maybe they want to like come on and talk to us. I don't know. We could probably get them if they're interested. I'm not sure a company has like a PR person or a podcast person like the Bitcoin companies do, but if they do, we could get them on. I'll even wear my lumberjack shirt. Stay in the spirit.
Let's move on. Citria, let's talk about that because that's...
Okay. All right.
Well, this has been gaining a lot of traction on Twitter. And, you know, I think it's time that I vent on this thing because it sounds like you and I might be standing on two different sides.
I don't know if we're on different sides. I suspect that the conviction we have is a little different.
Okay. I'm pleased that you're... looks like we're going to see things that... But anyways, this is being proposed as a way to help scale Bitcoin and to onboard more folks into Bitcoin. Because as we know, Bitcoin, you know, does have a scaling issue when you're talking about billions of people onboarding into it. So this Citria is very much tied to ZK rollups. ZK rollups, this is another thing that's been being banting around. And, you know, this is a zero knowledge rollups. And... well, this ZK rollup stuff, it's prevalent in the shitcoin community. It came from Ethereum. It came from other places. And now it's bleeding its way into Bitcoin. So there you go. Red flag number one. Let's talk about red flag number two. ZK rollups. Again, you know, if you take a look, the wizard, those loser wizards, they were on stage at the 2023 Bitcoin in Name Only conference. And they were talking about the ZK rollups at that stage, at that point in time. So that's another red flag. And now it makes me wonder what VCs are behind this, trying to try to pump this fucking shit. But let's talk about what it is, because I'm going to get this information right away from No BS Bitcoin. Check it out. It's a great news source. They say that since zero knowledge proofs can't be verified directly on Bitcoin, this is for a lack of optimized opcodes, we use a multi-party committee to verify them off-chain and compute a single on-chain signatures. So right away, we're talking about you can't verify, you're trusting somebody. Then these are things, obviously, I'm not a big fan of. And the question I have is, who creates this single on-chain signature? You know, it's verified by these multi-party committees, right? Like
nobody asked me. Anyone ask you or no?
No, but it's not us. It's not. And I run my own node. I can't do it. It's somebody else. You're relying on somebody else. These zero proofs are entirely done by somebody else. We can't verify shit. And they say it is it's not a trustless model. Like it is a little bit less than that. And I'll talk about that in a second. This also takes advantage of BitVM. We talked about BitVM quite a bit, and they use this as a bridging mechanism to make this all happen. Without BitVM, apparently this is not possible. And so in a nutshell, this is, you have the rollup operator, and this is potentially a company. They're the ones managing the funds and all this. And in this case, it's going to be Bitcoin, right? And the verifiers are the ones that are going to be using this, and they're the ones that will withdraw funds if needed. And if the operator is doing something that is in bad faith, well, the verifiers could challenge the process and penalize the operator. So there's a check and balance. That's what's doing all that's what's happening here. And these rollups, like as I mentioned, they're performing transactions, and these are being executed outside of Bitcoin, but then being sent over to Bitcoin to be for the transaction ultimately. So in this case, the Citria transactions, there's supposed to be thousands of transactions that are batched, and eventually, once they produce a validity proof asserting the correctness of the execution, then is done on the Bitcoin on-chain. But, and they say by using this method, they could scale Bitcoin. But what's the cost of this? That's the question. I already mentioned verifying and trust. And we could talk about this a little more in depth. Like, so trust, right? So the one term I keep hearing from them is trust minimized. Right? It's trustless or nothing for me. Fuck that. I don't want to have trust minimized because I don't want to trust anybody with my funding. This is Bitcoin. We have no way to recuperate any Bitcoin we lose. Bitcoin, in its fundamental state, fundamentally, it gives you, the user, the ability to control your Bitcoin. Nobody else can do it. They could try hacking into it, but you need an enormous amount of energy, enormous amount of time to get to the point to hack your keys. Without those two things, it's impossible to do so. You get super lucky, but that's a shot in the dark. And that's being very, very lucky. And that's being very, you know, that's never going to happen. But the reality is, don't fucking trust anybody. And this situation, this scenario, this setup requires you to trust somebody else. I don't fucking buy it. I don't like it. Verifying is also a second issue, right? The problem with zero knowledge proofs, in this model, you can't verify the longest chain like you can in a full node. A full node, mine sitting right here beside me, what it does, it searches for the longest chain, and it uses that. And that's where it's going to continually verify and want to broadcast to that. It's quick and easy. It works. But with the zero proof, you don't have the ability to do that. It is done in a vacuum. It doesn't have any idea about what is the longest chain. And that is potentially a security risk. So I see this zero proof. Zero knowledge is a staple in the shitcoin community. Trust, got to give it up. Don't like it. Verifying, can't do it. Don't like it. All in all, it's all shit, man. What VCs are funding this? I'd love to know. Plus, you have all those fucking, those wizards talking about this and supporting this. Too many red flags. 10 thumbs down for me for this one. I'll give it 11th in a little bit, but we'll see.
Well, okay, a couple easy ones for me here. Looking at the Citria team or whatever, when you Google Citria, the first thing you get is their appearance on the Unchained podcast with Laura Shin, the scam cast. So like right away, I'm out. I don't want to hear any more about this. I don't know a lot about the guys who are running it, these two fellows. Their names are not handy. But if you want to know, Len, a couple of the projects that what is the name of this thing? Chainway Labs, that's incubated this project, the Citria project, for about a year. They've got two projects that are major. One of them is Citria, right? You know what the other one's called?
Yeah.
Ordinal Safe, browser extension for simple and non-custodial BTC inscriptions.
You know,
so, you're kind of, right? Like you're kind of going down this road. I don't want to talk about inscriptions. Like I think it's whatever. But to me, you got a couple of check boxes here that really make it easy to see it's a scam. In the interest of completing my research for this episode, I joined the Citria Discord chat and just did a little looking around, checking some stuff out. I'll say this, okay? As much as I think this is a bad idea and probably won't take off for the reasons you mentioned there, trust, minimize, zero knowledge, all that stuff, we don't need it. I will say that the founders and the guys who are working on the project are parrying dozens of requests from the people who are in that Discord and refusing to do a token. Everybody in that Discord is asking for a token and early access to it. It'll help with funding. It's easier than doing a raise. You have all the capital you need. You can sell this later, blah, blah, blah. Those guys, to their credit, you may disagree with the idea, but I'm giving some credit where it's due here. They refuse to do a token. I didn't listen to the Laura Shin interview. Maybe I should. I bet you she asks too. Because she does ask about that sometimes. Why don't you do a token? Like, it's a dumb question, Laura. But whatever. I think you're right. I'm not as concerned about this kind of stuff. The question I have for you, if I could play devil's advocate here for a sec. With all this new money and all these new eyeballs coming into Bitcoin thanks to the ETF and number go up and all these things, and as it does every cycle, you know, we do pull from a lot of the other altcoins into Bitcoin because people kind of come to their senses and they're like, yeah, this is it. If this doesn't work, nothing works, blah, blah, blah. You know the story. We're going to get a lot of people who have bad ideas. We're going to get a lot of people who are trying to scam and con people, but we're also going to get people who have good ideas that just need a little bit of a chance to make mistakes and develop and iterate. How do you know this can't be one of those things? You know, that's the thing I'm curious, because you're always pretty, I don't want to say extreme, but you are early to the breakfast a lot of the time, you know, finding these things and having conviction about them. What would, in your opinion, be the thing that gave one of these projects a little bit of leeway to you know, try something on, not maybe not on Bitcoin, but try something with Bitcoin and maybe get it wrong the first time, second time, third time, but then the fourth iteration, they come to their senses on some issue or come up with some engineering development that makes it, you know, worthwhile. How do we know we're not just stomping everybody out on the first attempt because it's no good and Bitcoin has become this kind of, you know, I hate using this word because it just drives me nuts, but it's become like this toxic swamp where as soon as you take a misstep, you just melt, right? That you're out forever. You're sullied, your reputation's damaged, blah, blah, blah. How do we know when those projects come along that just need a little bit of time to make mistakes and build something better that we might actually like in a year or 2 years? That's one thing I can't figure out. I'm curious if you've thought about it at all.
You could do a sniff test on it and figure out if it smells like shit or not. And this one does. And another one that's pretty good. I mean, we heard about CTV and, you know, that may be something that's decent. You know, I can't say for certain. I would have to inspect it a little bit more, learn about it more. But and we talked about it. I talked about it for sure in the past that, you know, even if we do want to go ahead with CTV, it's something you'd have to not jump into it, but just slowly examine months, years, maybe even longer to figure out if it's right. We saw the unintended consequences, which came out with SegWit and Taproot. And now we have the 4 meg blocks that could potentially be minted and JPEGs that are included on it. So those are the unintended consequences of it. Now, I hear that from, I forget the guy, the inscription guy's name, whatever his
name is.
Casey Rodimer, yeah. He said that you could do inscriptions outside of Taproot and outside SegWit. Okay, I'll take that. It would be more expensive though. You're not going to get the
discount. Yeah,
there's no discount that comes along with Taproot, but you know, it'd still be possible. So I don't think there's much of an incentive to do it, or at least four times less incentive or something, whatever discount may be. So that being said, so that's why I'm just using that as an example, the SegWit and Taproot, that even it looks good on paper, we don't know what the unintended consequences are with activating something. So CTV and something I've been talking about, maybe something that's good, we should consider doing it, but you got to take the long term. You have to look long term with this. We are having the monetary system. It's collapsing. There's no doubt about this. We could all see it. It's just a matter of when. It's not a matter of if. And modernizing that into something with Bitcoin makes sense. Now, it has to be ready for that. And it can't be in a state where people are still infighting, or it's not ready for mass adoption, or a number of different reasons. It's got to be ready. You can't be fucking with it, throwing shit on there, JPEG shit like that, and then saying, oh, guys, let's replace or at least modernize the monetary system. Let's start using Bitcoin. We're still fighting out here with fucking JPEGs, right? Mm-hmm. Like we can't be in that state. It's got to be ready for prime time. There's so much at play right here. There's so much that we could fuck up. If we fuck up, we can't do it. So I'm of the opinion, whatever is being thrown out there, let's take our fucking time. If it's years, decades, that's fine. Like, let's do this right. Let's think things through. Let's use a testnet as much as possible. Let's try to find ways around it that people are looking at this and saying, you know, I could potentially use this activation of whatever project and bring my own garbage in there. Let's see if we could try front running them, figuring this shit out. We have smart people. We could, you know, we could do this with enough time and effort. So yeah, as for figuring out what is good, it's a sniff test. This one, as I said, it smells like crap.
Okay.
Yeah. And look, we got Mr. Bailey out there. I'm not anti-Lightning. I like it. It may not scale. As I mentioned in the previous episode, there's problems with scaling of that, but it certainly helps with quick and easy payments right now. And the one good thing about Lightning is when I create a channel, it's our two of two pre-signed transactions. So if any of the two parties want to close the channel, they could do so. They have control over their funds because it's already pre-signed, that transaction. So there's some benefits to Lightning and there's some drawbacks to Lightning. But
yeah, here and there.
Big drawbacks. I mean, let's be honest.
To Dave and to other people commenting on X, I can see the comments. I can't respond to them in the chat. So just be aware of that. Normally I would respond in the chat, but I can't even if I see them. So you have to wait for us to get to them. Anyway, yeah, it's a good discussion. I mean, there's the flood of ideas coming to Bitcoin is going to be torrential. Like it's going to be unbelievable. It's going to be a lot of volume, a lot of noise, a lot of signal mixed in there too, probably. And it just doesn't feel to me, the smell test is good, but
you could tell almost immediately from the get-go, and you know,
sometimes you can, sometimes you can,
sometimes you're right, but yeah, in this case
this one wasn't that hard, right? You look at Chainway Labs, and if you don't like ordinals and inscriptions, then this is the kind of stuff they're funding, and that's, you know, I think it's our, I know there's like a lot of controversy these days about supporting or not supporting ordinals and inscriptions, but at the end of the day, it's, you know, sort of your prerogative. Dave's saying BitVM is the same thing. BitVM, I don't know that much about. I thought these were like in the same vein though.
BitVM. It's using BitVM.
Right. Okay. Okay.
So it without it, from what I understand, it's not possible to create the roll-up. I forget what the term is. It's not possible to create the roll-up operator. I think that's what the BitVM is. So executing.
Yeah. Trust minimized two-way peg with BitVM. That's what they're calling it. So, I mean, I'm not technical enough to know what BitVM is. If someone
trust
is,
like, minimize, not, is yeah. still, whatever. There's still,
I don't know. Trust minimize. I don't like, my bigger problem, I think, with all this stuff is that, and I'm not saying Dave Bailey is, you know, saying this about us or about other people, but it does seem like if you are against a proposal now, the other side immediately calls you like, you know, you are like painted as a problem for Bitcoin, or like you're pro ossification. I don't know that I'm pro Bitcoin ossification. I like layer one the way it is. I don't really want to add L2 functionality that doesn't embrace the core tenets of layer one, right? There is ways to do additional speed and scaling and stuff on layer two. Maybe it's Lightning, maybe it's not. But like Len mentioned, the trade-offs are clear, present. And I do think that there's something to be said about what happened with Taproot, obviously. And the defensive posture is maybe warranted at this point, at least for a little while, right? We're about to enter into a period of significant change for Bitcoin. And what you
speedy
don't
speedy trial should not be used for a very, very long time, in my opinion. Yeah, we should avoid using that unless
that was a weird one, right? Yeah. Anyway, let's keep going.
Yeah, we'll talk about MicroStrategy, and they're following in the CBP footsteps, because if anybody's following us, we report on our buys every month. And so whether you like it or not, MSTR, they announced that they bought more Bitcoin, and they did this for the month of January 2024. And as for the specifics, they bought, and I say this only, I wish I could only buy this amount, 850 Bitcoin, and it was a total of $37.2 million. If you compare this to previous months, this, in terms of what they bought, 850, it is a very small number. But they bought this amount of Bitcoin for a reason, because this amount of Bitcoin got their balance sheet to an even 190,000 Bitcoin. So it was they're basically making a statement here. So it's a round number. I suspect moving forward is going to be crazy numbers. We don't know what's going to be, but it's not going to be a round number moving forward. So MSTR stock, as of yesterday, was up 29% in 5 days. As of today, I think it went up even higher. I didn't check what it went, but it's been gangbusters in the past little while. It's been absolutely phenomenal. So anybody who's parked their money in them, good for you if you're a fiat maximalist. So yeah, whether you like it or not, they have that Bitcoin. Now, the fact that they have it doesn't give them any more privilege. It's not like a proof of stake system where they're able to validate more with having more Bitcoin. They just simply have it, and they have more of the asset. For better or for worse, it is what it is. Anybody could buy it. They chose to buy it. And I got to give them credit. They're doing it, and they're finding the best way to do it. Dilution, going into a little bit of debt, and getting some Bitcoin as a result. We should have, I guess, next time we have a buy, we should consider bringing somebody on to talk a little bit more about this, because this is a very interesting topic. A lot of people like to hear about it, and we should get some in-depth information about what the MSTR is doing.
SB is a pro. You know, I'm happy to have him on to talk about MSTR anytime. Their earnings was today, right?
Was it?
I believe so. I believe it was today or yesterday or late last week. I forget. But Saylor was on with Morgan Brennan, who I have a huge crush on CNBC today. And I haven't listened to the interview yet, but everyone's talking about the same few things. This obviously transitioned to them being a Bitcoin development company, whatever that means. The Bitcoin buy. And then a word that he's used a lot in the last little while that me and Wayfaring and SB have discussed in a chat that we have, this word accretive. And I think, Len, you and I talked about this before, that what people should be looking at is the Bitcoin per share of MSTR. And someone, I pulled a tweet from somebody, this is like a couple months ago now, we talked about it on the program. He's talking about it the same way now. And I wonder if he was talking about it this way before internally and just came out with it recently, or if he looked at this, saw that it was popular, and started to discuss it in his media appearances and on their earnings calls and in their reporting. The big question that remains for MSTR is, are you going to buy that, or are you going to buy one of the ETFs? I don't know. It remains to be seen. You can see very clearly how significant the GBTC outflows were for the first little while. What you can't see is the MSTR outflows. And the stock has performed pretty well since the ETF came out. It's not gangbusters, but it's also not clearly suffering from outflows into these ETF products, especially in the United States. So what can you say about this? I don't know, man. I don't know. I like to buy, of course. Question is, like, what do you get with it as an MSTR shareholder? You know, what is the benefit to you? Are they going to be in M&A mode at 190,000 Bitcoin, which is 1% of the circulating supply, by the way?
Slightly less, because it's 119.5 million. Yeah.
It's about 1%.
Yeah. I look at that number. It's funny that they got an even amount of Bitcoin.
Yeah. We talked about this. We said this on the show. You can go back like 10 episodes, something like that. And we talked about it. That 1% number. So I don't know. What are you getting for MSTR at this point is the question I don't really understand the answer to.
I don't think we could try to analyze this, and this is way out of my wheelhouse, so I'm not even going to speculate. I guess the only way we'll figure this out is over time. And I'm curious to see how it does play out, but I'm not even going to fucking try to guess, because I have no clue, and I'm going to be 100% wrong if I try. But Fidelity Canada, Joey, talk about Fidelity Canada, Serenity Now. A lot of people were foaming at the mouth this past week because it was reported on Twitter. I'm not sure if you saw it. And even by a few big names on the Bitcoin space, that Fidelity Canada has been allocating some Bitcoin to their all-in-one ETFs. Yeah. And the breakdown is 1% of Bitcoin for the conservative ETF, 2.5% for their balanced ETF, and the 3.1% for their aggressive ETF. And everybody was happy, and people are saying, oh, this is an example that, you know, there's going to be big money coming in. It's going to scoop up the existing supply of Bitcoin. It's going to run out. But let's not start sucking each other's dicks quite yet, because apparently this is some old shit. And digging through this, I had to go through the archives here. The reality is this news is over 2 years old. So people that are jumping at this and saying this is a point in time we should be cheering should have did it 2 years ago, because that's when it was first announced, January 2022 to be specific. So I just wanted to point this out there for people are cheering and still don't quite understand. It's a fucking old news item, and we could cheer it all you want, but it's nothing new.
This happens a lot in Bitcoin Twitter. Like that clip of Obama talking about Swiss bank accounts in your wallet was floating around again last week. And that's got to be 5 years old at this point, 4 years old, something like that. And it's like, you know, oh, Obama for next said week, this about Bitcoin. Like, guys, I've been around long enough that I remember people memeing this 4 years ago. The cool thing though is that, again, as we've discussed on this show and others have as well, we're not the only ones. There is going to come a time when Fidelity and other major investment firms not only offer these vehicles kind of under the radar, but start to push them. You know, they'll become popular amongst certain people. There's going to be people who want exposure to the Bitcoin volatility at 1% or 2%. You know, Julian Figueroa, Kinetic Finance, and I, a couple weeks ago, were trying to hammer out the details around that Preston Pysh quote that you could go 2% Bitcoin and 98% cash and beat the S&P. I couldn't find the data to back that up, and we found a backtester that seemed to be good. But you do beat the S&P at like 6%, 7%. So maybe people are looking for something like this, right? Maybe they don't want the full 7, but they want 2 plus some gold, plus some bonds, plus some cash or something like that, right? Those are conservative portfolio options, those ETFs that are blended. And I can't imagine why they wouldn't put Bitcoin in some of these different ETFs, right? Like there's going to be a whole generation of young people coming up in the Robinhood era who maybe don't want to do the self-custody thing right away or have some money in their IRA accounts that's taxable on removal. And they want Bitcoin exposure, but not full Bitcoin exposure, right? They position it defensively. I'm thinking in terms of my own investing, you know, my wife and I have a joint TFSA. It's her TFSA, but you know, I manage it. It's defensively positioned. I would love to get something that was like, you know, 80% VFV or XEQT and 20% Bitcoin ETF, but I can't get it there. Right. So, but I would love to get that at a cheap management fee. These things are all going to come in time. And though this is an old news story, it's going to become a relevant one, I think, pretty soon. There are going to be some of these places that are offering this and positioning their investors, their clients in Bitcoin this way. If you don't like the volatility, we got something that's, you know, position size right for you, John Doe, Jane Doe. You're going to love it. That's the story, right? We like that. The inflows show that there's desire. And I think if you add vehicles like this, those inflows grow even more.
In El Salvador, there is somebody or some company that's called Cherrito Cafe.
Nice.
And they're doing something that's very interesting, and they're using the Lightning Network to do it. When you go there and you buy from them using the Lightning Network for payment, they have set up their own LN wallet. And what this does, their special LN wallet that they set up, it pays the percentage of the sats that they receive to each employee of the company that helped make the product. So the funds are being sent directly to those most impactful for the creation of the product. So it's not just their own employees, but it's every person along the supply chain that the sats can be sent to indirectly when you make the payment. So that's really, really cool. This wallet is called Expresso Pay. Expresso Pay. You can check out their website, www.expressopay.com. Doesn't say very much over there, but that's what it is. And what I like about this is this type of setup, done properly, it could limit corruption right now. So when you do make a payment to somebody, to the vendor, that money then is directed to the people that help make that particular product. So I like seeing these type of projects being built out. And yeah, I just wanted to report on that, because something like this, I wish it could be done over here in Canada, but clearly, you know, we're not as advanced in Bitcoin as El Salvador is. But somebody over there, yeah, the Cherrito people, the Cherrito Cafe people, they're doing something very unique here, and they're ensuring that people, everyone in the supply chain, could potentially get some of the sats that are directly owed to them. I like that. It's really cool.
I like that too. There was talk years ago about how Bitcoin's transparency would lend itself well to stuff like supply chain management. I don't remember exactly how that would work. I'm not a logistics expert, but yeah, I mean, all this stuff is going to come in time, right? People like transparency. They like accountability, at least some people anyway. I won't say anything more than that. But yeah.
What I like about this too is the money is immediately sent over. It's not like you pay the vendor and you have to wait for
much time
for the money.
Yeah.
It's instant payment. And if you're a major player in the production of this, you're going to get obviously a little bit bigger of the slice. So it incentivizes more product, better product, and you're going to get paid for this.
When are we going to start doing this for like regular payroll, I wonder? Because I think that's a huge thing that we don't talk that often about. We kind of get, I don't want to say lost in the weeds. The ETF and things like this are not, you know, in the weeds. But isn't one of the big things that Bitcoin can do instant settlement, you know, compared to waiting 2 weeks or a week for your paycheck? How long is your paycheck in the ether there? It's about a week, right? 7 days, I think. Or is it a full 2 weeks? You're always behind.
I don't know. I don't want to discuss that.
I forget. But like the point, it's not a knock at like your employer. What it is just something that's worth noting, because what you're seeing there is someone parking the money that you've already earned, interest on it, and then paying you later. This is right?
Common in practice.
Yeah. We got to get rid of that. Like coffee shop and supply chain, fine. But like, this is really what we got to be looking at, right? Stuff like this. Let's get this money in the hands of the people who earned it faster. Well, of course, this comes at a cost for people who are benefiting from the current system. Common theme in Bitcoin, but I think it's inevitable in any case.
Let's quickly talk about Monero, just really, really quick. Got wrecked.
RIP. RIP. Man.
40% down in one day once they got delisted from Binance. And then there's a significant, like I said, there's a sizable amount of people that like Monero in Bitcoin space. I don't know why. You can't.
It's great. Ask Mark, CoinShack Mark. CoinShack Mark has the biggest hard on for Monero I've ever seen. I love Mark. He's a great guy. Like the times I've hung out with him and had him on, he's always a good time. But I just don't get it. Like, he, I know why Monero is popular. It's neat. I've held XMR before. Have you ever held XMR? Do you know how to hold it and stuff? So cool. It's like its own little wallet function. It's neat. It's like, it's very close to Bitcoin and maybe a little more difficult, but it's fine. The thing is,
you can't audit the supply. So you can't audit the total supply.
Forget about that. Forget about that.
There's no forgetting.
I know what the problems are with it.
Okay.
But for this story, if you're holding XMR, why do you care if it gets delisted from an exchange? Like, shouldn't that be like the, yes, we're so good that the exchanges can't list us anymore. We have to be buying more. Like that's the rationale that I would have if I was holding that token. But it seems like no one actually has that rationale. So if no one holding the token has that rationale, then like, what's the value? I'm not sure about. I don't know. Great tick. I always like the name, and I always liked XMR as a ticker symbol. But that's about as far as my love for Monero goes. Sorry, Mark. Sorry about that, Mark.
Well, anyways, backed. They might.
Do you think Mark would ever start the Canadian Monero podcast and come under the media umbrella? Would we allow it?
I don't think. So a no to the first one and a hard no to the second one. I think the first one is probably a 99.9% no, but the second is 100% no.
Okay, got
and
it.
It's not to say that, you know, he definitely has the charisma to do it. I just, you know, like, come on. Monero?
Isn't there a Monero podcast? There's got to be a Monero. This is a podcast for everything. It's got to be a Monero podcast. I know a guy doing a podcast on NHL 94. There's got to be a Monero podcast.
Buddy, there's a community for that that's vibrant. They have annual tournaments, the whole nine yards.
There is a podcast. There's two of them. There's Cafe Monero and Monero Talk. Oh, there's a bunch of Monero space. There's a guy named Monero Mateo. Very creative. He's got some poor branding. He needs to work on his branding. He also hasn't put out an episode in 2 years, so maybe that's a little bit defunct. But yeah, okay, cool. Well, there you go.
Well, I'll quickly talk about Bakkt very, very quick. They might go tits up. And this is the publicly traded company. They initially tried to get Starbucks or help Starbucks have customers pay with Bitcoin. This was a few years ago, 7-8 years ago, in fact. But now the company Bakkt seems to be in trouble. And it looks like they don't have enough cash in order to make it for the next 12 months. So they're out there. They've talked to the SEC. It looks like they're going to be selling $150 million in securities in order to shore up their financial position. And what's interesting about this, Bakkt, they had at one time a connection with Swan Bitcoin. It seems like Swan, they have the Midas touch, the reverse Midas touch, because they had a partnership with Swan and for Bitcoin trading, liquidity, and custody services. And this is back not too long ago. In fact, let me just click on the tweet. I can tell
you. Probably 2 years, exactly. I had to guess.
November 30th, 2023. So we're talking 3 months ago.
Yeah. Not 2 years. Great. Time is flying. How does this keep happening to Corey? Like, how does it keep happening?
I don't know. I don't know. But I'll leave it at that. That's another black eye to Swan. And the reverse Midas touch. Whatever they touch, it's turning to shit.
I have nothing to add to that. Whatever. Good luck to them and good luck to people who are working there. Job loss sucks, but you know, this is competition, Len, in Bitcoin and even in crypto, and they're intensifying. Boom dust. Cafe Monero sounds like a great place to get brunch. Does it? I don't know. They don't. They tell you that your food costs this much money, but you can't actually verify. So anyway.
Well, you tell them you paid, and they can't confirm.
That's right. I'm settled up.
I paid. What are you fucking talking about? Yeah. I would show you if it was a transparent and open ledger, but I can't. You fucking got it. Let me tell you.
Should we move on to other notable stories?
Yeah, we should definitely do that.
We're moving on to other notable stories. So if you're listening on audio, tune in tomorrow when other notable stories drops. And if you're on video, stay tuned for the next segment where we discuss other notable stories. Until next time, take care of yourself.
Don't be a cuck.
Are you a fan of the old school NHL 94 game on the Genesis or SNES? Why not check out my show, the NHL 94 Podcast, from tournaments and tactics to the people who make up this community. Check it out wherever you listen to podcasts or find it on YouTube.